You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Their behavior has been nothing short of thuggish. In Ottawa, they've kept people in the neighborhood awake all night, revving their engines, blowing their horns. They've deprived Ottawa businesses of tens of millions of dollars. Now they're blockading the international bridges. They are laying off people, cutting their shifts short in automotive assembly plants because they can't get the parts from Canada to the United States. They used their crowbars to threaten cops who were going to tow their trucks away that were blocking. They've told tow truck drivers that they'll remember them when this is all over. A clear intimidation tactic. To give them the mantle of freedom fighters is absolutely appallingly naive.
Are you naive? Or you think the spokesman you were listening to was naive? You'll be surprised when you hear who it is. Maybe you will. This is Feb 10, 2022. We are live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. Larry Connors USA YouTube channel, so you can watch the program as we do it. It's fascinating. Kind of like watching sausage being made. I don't know sometimes. The speaker you were listening to then was a Fox News analyst, Geraldo Rivera. His statements calling these truckers thugs, that's pretty contrary to everything else from much, if not all, others on Fox, such as Sean Hannity. He's been praising them daily as freedom fighters, freedom convoy. We're going to do the same thing here in this country, and we're going to give them our allegiance. These truckers owe them a lot for going out there in the midst of the pandemic. They continued doing their job and delivering what goods were available until the supply chain blockage happened. Now, there, when Rivera mentioned they were blocking international crossing points into the U.S., that is going to cause additional concern, and concern not just in Canada, but in the U.S. of A. So we're that closely linked to what's happening. Even though you may think, oh, it's all in Canada, it could end up affecting you. And you may still support these truckers, or you may not. Now, there are a lot of Canadians that they know they're going to have a shortage of supplies, things of this nature, and maybe their particular business does have to shut down because they don't have whatever they need for their business. But they've already been facing severe restraints and restrictions in their country as well as we have here. So maybe they're also with the truckers. Now, a lot of trucking companies have not joined in. It's a big profit issue for them, obviously. But if routes are blocked, you can't do anything anyway. And second point, being that you have the truckers' unions apparently speaking out against it, on one hand, no surprise there, because normally all unions are controlled by Democrats who vote Democrat and take the labor union employees' donations, I should say fees, and uses them to send to political campaigns, which the others might not support. We're going to get into that. You're going to hear a report direct from Ontario as well, on Ottawa, I should say, from one of those on the street. Now, Congressman Schiff, a Democrat of California, still insists, oh, we've got nasty, nasty stuff on Donald Trump. And now we're hearing reports that they are trying to find and seize voting machines after the election. He doesn't have any proof, but he's going to make it like it's a big, big deal. At the same time, there's a question about, is all of the mask mandate and restrictions, much less Biden's polls and falling numbers, is that going to hurt midterm? But when it comes to some of the governors in blue states and cities saying, we're going to unmask businesses, so forth, so on, but for schools, you're going to have to keep those children masked, is that going to lose some Democrat voters? Democrat Congressional Committee Chairman says, nope, we should be fine. I hope they keep thinking that way. We're also going to be joined this hour by James Carafano from the Heritage Foundation. And he says, Russia dealing with Ukraine, Ukraine could be a big crisis, maybe a disaster for Russia. We'll get into that and a lot more. Let your friends and family know we're on the air live as you're listening. And at Larry Connors USA YouTube channel, live streaming. Gather around, lock and load, ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
They're reporting the Washington Post tonight that Rudy Giuliani, the former president's attorney, asked a Michigan prosecutor to give voting machines to Trump's team in the weeks after the election. So is that something your committee is investigating or wants to investigate?
We are certainly investigating the whole constellation of issues around efforts to obtain voting machines, either by the campaign or by the Trump administration. To me, this is one of the most shocking revelations, are these public reports. And at this point, I can only refer to the public reports.
No, let's stop it right there. We're going to stop it right there because there you have Adam Schiff, Democrat, California, House Select Committee Chairman, of course, still pushing the January 6th inquiry as Pelosi is. Because, and I told you the day January 6th happened, I stated this is going to come back to haunt us. They're going to use it like a hammer on our heads every day up to the next elections and beyond. And they continue to do so. They still want to call it an insurrection. It was not an insurrection in the sense it's trying to overthrow the government. There was only one gun even confiscated, and that happened to be one of those January 6th protesters inside the Capitol. Never pulled it out. There was no violence against lawmakers inside. Oh, they were frightened away. Remember, Ocasio-Cortez saying, I'm terrified, hiding in my office. She was not in the Capitol. She was over in the representative's office building. She was not even on the floor at the time, but when she first tells her story, you think, oh my God, she's caught right there and she's afraid they're going to come kill her. And then you have Schiff said the most shocking thing. Everything to him is the most shocking thing. If it involves anything that can make Trump look really, really bad. I'm not defending Trump here, and I'm certainly not defending the January 6th event. I will not defend that. I called it out that day, and I do think Trump should have acted quicker. But he did not tell participants at his rally down the street, go down to the Capitol and scare the bejesus out of them and break in and assault police officers. He said none of that. But don't let the facts get in the way of the story. And speaking about facts, when the guest host for Anderson Cottonmouth was asking Schiff, there's a reporting in the Washington Post that Giuliani asked a Michigan prosecutor to give voting machines to Trump. Are you investigating that? Well, we're investigating everything. Well, there's also a report that six rolls of toilet paper were taken out of one of the restrooms. Will you investigate that? That butt coin's pretty expensive nowadays. Well, they'll probably investigate that if you say that. But what he says then is that this is one of the most shocking revelations of these public reports, and I can only refer to them as public reports. You know why? Well, there are two reasons. One, of course, he can say, I can't tell you what's really being discussed behind closed doors in the inquiry at this point, so I can only discuss public. The other point being, public is not verified. Not that this committee cares about verifying and distinguishing between fact and science fiction, because how many times did we hear during the Russian collusion story, every person who testified, who appeared on the, at that time, mainstream media, now state-controlled media, said, well, I can't tell you exactly what I said, I can't tell you exactly what I heard, but it's going to be bad for Trump. More shoes are going to fall, not just one more. More shoes are going to fall. I mean, you were left the impression he's going to be definitely impeached, thrown out of office, or have to be forced to resign. And then when the transcripts are finally released of those inquiries about Russian collusion and all the evidence that was presented, it turned out CIA director and others all saying, I don't know, I don't have any facts, don't know anything. That's what they say under oath. Then they come out on the mainstream media and lie directly to you. And they don't even blink because they've got a mainstream media host there edging them on, giving them softball questions, and here's a door, run through it. So when we hear Adam Schiff say, I can only refer to the public reports, keep that in mind. Because once we see transcripts of some of the stuff that's going on, we're probably going to see, again, they're lying. But let's go back to Adam Schiff again, and that he's just so shocked.
To me, this is one of the most shocking revelations, are these public reports. And at this point, I can only refer to the public reports, that there were multiple efforts to persuade the president to either use the military or the Justice Department or the Department of Homeland Security or some other government agency to seize the voting machines of state and local jurisdictions. That's the kind of thing you see in the third world.
Yeah, yeah. See, tied all in there. And again, public reports. He's not saying we have any evidence. I mean, even if they had evidence that that was total fiction, I don't know. I'm not, you understand, I'm not taking sides. I don't know. The Washington Post claimed that Giuliani asked a Michigan prosecutor to give voting machines to Trump's team in the weeks after the election. Now, I don't know if it was before the Electoral College met or afterwards. I don't know the timing, and if there's anything illegal done there, well, then, yeah, it should be pursued. I will agree with that. We want free and fair elections. But here he has a chance to point out this kind of stuff, and then he goes into these other multiple public reports, which mean just that, gossip, persuading the president to either use the military or the Justice Department or the Department of Homeland Security to seize voting machines of state and local jurisdictions. There are those stories out there, too, you know, many more than just Michigan. Of course, I can only say they're public. The kind of thing you see in the third world. if he were going to be legitimate here, he'd say, those stories are out there. They have not been proven. So let's don't jump to conclusions. But he wants you to jump to conclusion. Actually, he wants to lead you to the conclusion that he has and that Trump is guilty of everything that went wrong, and more so. This Russian collusion thing, riddle me this. Riddle me this. Did they ever come out and say, we couldn't prove it? No, they didn't. Did they ever come out and say, riddle me this one? Did they ever come out and say, there's no proof there was any collusion? No, they did not. You can sit out there and throw. In Oklahoma, they have, from time to time, a cow patty throwing contest. You know what that is? They go out and gather up a large amount of cow patties. Now, some call them patties, some call them patties, but basically they are bull S, or cow S, that have been laid out and then, you know, dropped from the cow or bull, and then in the sun they dry out and they get kind of hard, not real, real hard, but enough. But you could take them and throw them like a frisbee, and they would have contests about how far you could throw it. It's a little contest, truly. Democrats are doing it on a daily basis with this investigation. And, of course, they purposely would not allow Jim Jordan of Ohio and another Republican on the committee because, and they were appointed by Kevin McCarthy, House leadership for Republicans. He's allowed to appoint some members. He appointed them. Nope, Pelosi wouldn't let them on. She picked her own Republican. She chose one of them being Liz Cheney, knowing that Liz Cheney didn't like Trump either. But let's go back to something about the concern about elections and who's throwing them and who's trying to manipulate them and who's complaining about them. In 2017, Democrats objected to more states attempting to certify their electoral votes than Republicans did last year. That's right. After Trump won and won the Electoral College, and Hillary would not be gracious and say, as she had in debates, oh, well, we'll follow the will of the people. It's the will of the people and our Constitution. Well, the Constitution says the Electoral College votes are what really count, not the popular vote. Of course, Hillary continued to claim, I had the popular vote. I had more people vote for me. Well, maybe if they were legal voters, that's the other question. But in 2017, Democrats objected to more states attempting to certify electoral votes than Republicans did last year. And Liz Cheney of Wyoming called a political ally turned primary challenger, Harriet Hagman, to weigh the consequences of demanding that President Trump concede the election. That's before they began to kind of have their rivalries. She said in her discussion with the New York Times, she just went and captured her third time, said it's unconstitutional to cast objections over the electoral votes of other states. Except that Cheney had been part of the Democrat, that were complaining, or Republicans, I should say, complaining about the Democrats doing it previously. Now, suddenly, because it involves Trump, she switched sides. No big deal. Understandable, because that's the way they play the game. But here's the other part they want to roll into the story. You heard Adam Schiff already say, if it's true, well, he didn't even say if it's true. He's talking about, I can only refer to these public reports that they're all, they were going to use the military and others to seize voting machines. He didn't say it's not fact. He didn't say it's just, he just said it's public. But he's suggesting he kind of believes it. And then he, remember he said, that's the kind of thing you see in the third world. You see where he's leading with that statement, right? All right, let's let him continue.
That's the kind of thing you see in the third world. You don't expect to see that in what we would hope would be the most advanced democracy in the world. But it's real tin pot dictator kind of stuff. And if these allegations involving Rudy Giuliani prove to be correct, that you have someone who is a very top advisor to the president who is integrally involved in this, you know, it's another line of responsibility going very high in the Trump hierarchy in, you know, one of these very important lines of effort to overturn the election.
Overturn the election. They are going to run that set of words into the ground. That and insurrection, reference January 6th. And they will have state-controlled media being glad to copy each and every little word they say about it. If they're really interested in facts, if they really want to show transparency, they have opportunity to do so. And if Adam Schiff really wanted to be honest, he'd say, you know, these are just public reports that could amount to nothing more than rumors and stories. But he won't do that because he wants you to have a little suspicion maybe it happened. And then remember FBI agent Smurf, as I called him, and his lover? Well, they're now trying to make him a hero. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Okay, so you remember FBI agent Smurf, Peter Stroke, and his lover, Lisa Page. And remember the text messages that got uncovered between him and Lisa? She was an FBI lawyer at that time, which were in the text going back and forth were critical of Trump. Remember that? Well, NBC, I should say MSNBC, Nicole Wallace, claimed yesterday that President Donald Trump, shame on him, exploited Peter Stroke Smurf's disgraced departure from the FBI and the Robert Mueller investigation into the alleged Russian interference with the 2016 election, which was not true. You were supposed to believe it at the time, then eventually it just fizzled out. Then what else can we find him on? She claims that Donald Trump exploited the fact that Stroke was told you're fired because of those text messages. She's calling and saying Trump exploited something? MSNBC and the like, CNN, and the rest of them, all in their little camp, they don't exploit anything, but she could say, I think Trump's probably did that. She said, to keep in mind, Smurf Stroke, fired by the FBI DOJ after those pages were uncovered. The text got back and forth with Page. Nicole Wallace said, you didn't leave by your own choice. I mean, you left a scandal was, I don't know that there's anything that happened that was more exploited by Donald Trump than the way you left the FBI. Is that sort of a difficulty on top of difficulty? In other words, was it piling on? Because, I mean, you were already just being fired, and not only that, here comes Trump in there making remarks about you and Lisa. See, Stroke had become a deputy assistant for counterintel at the Bureau. And he also has claimed the release of his private text messages was illegal, so he added in his answer to her, was it kind of a difficulty on top of difficulty? She said, or he answered, without a question. Being fired in the context of the DOJ's illegal release of some private communications I had, and having that just seized upon by the White House, by Trump's allies in Congress, by right-wing media, added a certain level of trauma. This is the same guy that went into a Walmart, and in one of the text page he sent Paige, his lover, saying, oh, I tell you, I can tell they were Trump people there. I could smell them. That's very akin to Hillary Clinton calling Trump supporters deplorable. Then he was asked, was it hard to leave your job amid the scandal? And his answer, it is hard. You know, I miss it. I love the job, and it was something that was challenging with amazing colleagues and for some real important purposes. It's hard now to just be left out, you know, spending 2 decades of working a job, and then particularly, you know, you see challenges that we're facing, and of course, I still want to be in the fight, and it's so hard. Maybe I should have used some of those lines when I got fired by that TV station over what I still contend were false allegations and stories. It's long past. I don't really care. In fact, I like this much better nowadays because the way things are going, I can have this radio show and express my opinion. Where's the news anchor? You'd never hear any remarks like that from me. I just treat it as fact, as a news anchor should. But Stroke was not doing an FBI agent's job as he should. He was supposedly working all the way with the Clintons. Remember that meeting where she got to come in and talk about the destroyed emails on her computers and so forth. And they basically offered her tea and cookies, and the head of the FBI at the time didn't even bother going to such an inquiry. That's your job. Why weren't you there? Well, no, Peter Smurf was overseeing it. They didn't put her under oath. And there were times she said, well, you know, if I fell once, hit my head, I don't really recall to me. Yeah, they were doing their job, weren't they? So, coming up, Russia's decision with Ukraine could be Russia's crisis. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota has the perfect new or pre-owned car for you, but Jay Ackerman also has a mission to help charities that make a difference. Ackerman Toyota supports food banks, veterans groups, head injury victims, charities battling cancer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. If you're watching, see, that's why you might be wanting to watch Larry Connors, USA YouTube channel as we're live streaming the program, because there's a lot of flurry of activity going on here. One of the worst things that can happen when you're a radio host and you book a guest and suddenly the guest isn't there. Well, there's been some kind of confusion, and when I hear from my board operator, I just tried to call the number and nobody's answering. I said, well, let me see. So I'll go back to emails to send a message to the contact. And I see that a message had been sent to me at 30 minutes ago that I don't know if you saw the email. I sent this email chain. See, I hate threads. Chain so forth because it gets lost. It doesn't pop up as something really new. Said, your guest is not going to be available. There's confusion with Central versus Eastern time, even though I wrote Central time in it, but that's all right. And they did offer to give me someone. Oh, we got him? I was going to say, oh, we good, good. Jim Carafano with the Heritage Foundation. Jim, I'm glad it worked out. I'm so sorry. I don't know how this happened. I know press connection is off today, so I apologize if it messed up your schedule. But
no, I was in No, I was in the middle of conducting a brain surgery, and they said, on the phone, and I said, okay.
Was it a Democrat? Were you operating on it?
Give me an extra pint of blood, and I'll get back.
Well, I haven't had a...
When Larry Connor calls, you pick up the phone.
I come first. So I just explained to the audience that sometimes you set these up and then something happens. And I had gotten an email, but at that time I'm deep in to get the show ready and I'm not following emails. I'm watching what I need to get ready. So, first of all, Happy New Year. I don't think we've had a chance to talk since the New Year. So, let's begin.
All kidding aside stuff, what you guys do is so important. And I think it's so important to our country that people get to hear and discuss these things in a way, politics and the partisanships aside, just honest dialogue.
I appreciate that.
I really feel it's important to support you guys. So seriously, you guys call and we answer because we think what you do is so important.
I know. And you often have made yourself available at the last minute, too. I want to point that out. Now, Jim is, of course, an expert with the Heritage Foundation, and they try to take a non-biased approach, very direct down the line, not a political approach, but the facts sometimes say the other side is wrong, that itself. You wrote a piece that appeared that I was looking at that I wanted to discuss with you that originally appeared in a publication 1945, How Ukrainian Crisis Could Become a Disaster for Russia. You point out your opening line. I want to set it up one way. And it's not your opening line, but one of the... Yeah, actually it is. It's part of your opening line. Because the former Trump NSA deputy, Katie McFarland, said the other day, Putin has all of his chips in. In other words, in poker parlance, I bet it all, shove it all, I'm all in, is what it said. Your opening line says Putin is like a compulsive poker player who can't stop testing his luck. Go ahead.
Well, look, I think the reality is, how we got here. This only happened because Biden's president. He was weak. Putin is testing him. That's done. Putin, he's always wanted the Ukraine. Will he actually take the step to invade? Only Putin knows that. I mean, he has done the calculus. He's seen the West response. And now we're all just waiting to see what he does, which, by the way, is a terrible way to do foreign policy, is to let the enemy have all the decisions on when they do. But all that aside, I don't know if he's going to invade. I don't know how the Ukraine is going to play out. Here's what I do know. Putin is a problem to us because his ultimate goal is not the Ukraine. It's to destabilize and divide Europe, push the United States out, isolate us. The big winner on that is China. Nothing would make them happier than if that happened. So the question is how, because Putin and China are the same problem, how do we keep Putin from being a problem? And this is very simple. This is what I cover in the article. What does he have over us?
You said he has two good cards. What are his two good cards?
Right.
Aces, rockets?
He has a military, he has a very strong military, and he sells a lot of gas and oil. So the answer to this is very easy. If we have strong conventional and strategic deterrence, which means our allies, stepping up and doing their part, but also us being forward present and part of European security, he's got no place to go. So the military card, regardless of what happens to Ukraine, is off the table. If we had energy independence, which we had under Donald Trump, and the Europeans were serious about energy security and not just being content on buying all their gas and oil from Russia and China, he couldn't threaten them with that. So if we have energy independence and energy security and a strong military, then he can't threaten the West. He's a little prankster, and we can all ignore him.
All right, so let me break it. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I think the other thing that we do is China's supporting Putin. China should pay a price for that. Yeah, China should pay a price for encouraging and cheerleading Russia to destabilize Western Europe. They shouldn't get a free pass.
I agree. Now, let's talk about Europe and German Chancellor Scholz was the other day with Biden, and Biden saying if there's anything that Russia does, if there's an invasion then of any type, but then we'll come back to that small incursion or a small invasion, what are the words he used previously, but Biden saying we'll put in sanctions. So, but when reporters were asking Chancellor Scholz, his company is depending on that pipeline laid under the Baltic Sea. It's ready, just needs to go through the final certification. Two things here. First, Chancellor Scholz did not say we would support shutting off the fuel because that's going to be 50% of their supply they're looking to get. And two, can it actually be shut down by Biden? How would he shut it down? You have to have the company.
Well, the U.S. would shut it.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, the U.S. would shut it down by simply sanctioning anybody that works on the pipeline. And then the pipeline, essentially your choices would be lose
but it's built,
all the
basically.
Business.
It's built and ready. They're ready
right.
to open the
but
valve.
It doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, if the U.S. sanctions all the companies involved in that pipeline, operating that pipeline simply becomes untenable. Then the other question is where do you get gas from? Because if the Russians then shut off, you know, gas to the Ukraine, then Europe is freezing in the winter. And that's where the U.S. and the Europeans have to have a credible plan to get gas and oil to Europe in sufficient supply and at sufficient. We can do that. But we just have to adopt responsible energy policies. Shutting down Keystone XL, that was not
stupid.
Smart. You know, discouraging gas.
And now they're asking, you know, they're asking the oil companies, U.S. oil company, can you get us some more oil or gas? And releasing from our strategic reserve, that's a bad idea. It's meant
to
be
joke.
Strategic, not fill in a
yeah,
gap.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then, look, I don't know if Biden will get serious about this, but what I laid out in the article is Russia is a very solvable problem. It doesn't require fighting World War III. It doesn't require one American troop going to war. It just requires the United States to do what it did under Donald Trump, which is stand up and protect and defend America's interests. You know, I just remind people, none of this happened for 4 years under Trump for a very simple reason. Trump wouldn't tolerate
it. Sure.
And all the things that we need to do, asking our allies to pay their own defense, us being strong in our defense investment, having energy independent, all those things we've done for 4 years, we know we can do them. And that's just the answer. I mean,
so,
it's just that simple.
So a couple things there, though, is that I guess where I want to go in the sense that back in during the Reagan administration, I had the other day on Stephen Bryan from the Center for Security Policy, and he said, while we were in the Reagan administration, we were telling these European countries, do not depend on anyone else. You know, don't put all your marbles over on the Soviet Union at that time, because if they shut it down, then you will freeze in the winter. They didn't listen. And as you said, right. That could happen again now. We have shut down our own where we were independent oil. Now we are importing more than we were exporting.
Including oil from Russia.
Yes, yes. That was the next point. Go ahead.
No, yeah, we were importing oil from Russia.
Yeah, and that's
even, even as we're lecturing the Europeans on being dependent on Russian energy, we're buying oil from Russia.
So if we're talking about poker, if you're talking about poker, you point out as a bad bet for the Russians, Cuban Missile Crisis, one that involved the U.S.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, I think, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis happened for a reason, and that's because Khrushchev thought Kennedy looked weak. And what Kennedy did in the Cuban Missile Crisis was stand up. But you know what? Here's the difference. Kennedy stood up for the right reason, which is he recognized that he'd made a huge mistake with Khrushchev, and they had not demonstrated sufficient resolve. And he changed American foreign policy on a dime and was tough again. Joe Biden is doing what he is doing in the Ukraine today, not because he recognizes that he's weak and feckless, but after Afghanistan, he was so embarrassed, he recognizes he can't have another political foreign policy crisis and not compromise his presidency. So he's looking weak because he's trying to avoid failure, because he's trying to embrace and defend American interests.
Yeah, and they bogged down Afghanistan just as we did after 20 years. But I mean, they had their own losing battle. But
right.
And some of the military generals have apparently been saying, not publicly, of course, that in the last 30 seconds, this could be a lot tougher than what Putin's suggesting it would be, and would not be good for us. So it would be a crisis for Russia.
Look, I do think that, you know, I think the only thing really restraining Putin is he would be fighting 44 million Ukrainians, and does he know how that war is going to come out? He's not being restrained by Joe Biden or the German chancellor or anybody else. And you know what? Here, look, Ukraine does matter. You know, actually, we could end this in 5 seconds. If Ukraine joined NATO tomorrow, none of this would be possible, because Putin is not going to go to war with NATO. He's afraid to do that.
All right. James, I'll let you go back to the brain surgery. I hope the patient's still doing well. But my audience appreciate you joining us, sir.
All right, let me go save a life here. Bye.
Okay, go save a life. James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation, thank you very much. I'm glad we were able to get him on, because he's always good anyway. Out in California, I told you they want the folks around there to take in the homeless. There's another problem coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Mustangs have it. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I told you yesterday about how in California, some of the charity groups and others are all coming together, and the state's more than glad to see it happen, encouraging residents. You don't like all these homeless people around? Well, then why don't you step up and do something? Why don't you invite a homeless person into your house? Give them a spare bedroom. Maybe part of the basement. I don't know if they have, they may have basements in some of the areas. A garage, probably, especially if it's a three-car garage, you put 30 families in that one. Well, they're trying to get all the homeless off the areas in advance also, because we do have, let me see, this Sunday, what happens this Sunday in L.A.? There's a some kind of sporting event. What's it? What do they call that thing? A blooper bolt? No, let me see. Anti-Ram, yeah, for some folks, anti-Rams Super Bowl. Well, they're trying to get all the homeless out of the way. So what they're doing apparently is trying to shuffle them off to other areas that they couldn't walk to, I guess. And a group of Venice Beach, California's residents are warning city leadership, you're going to be liable for multi-million dollar lawsuit payouts if you don't enforce the laws banning overnight homeless encampments. That's right. The letter states there will be no question the city's been warned of this danger, saying they're out there building their little tents and huts and starting fires, and it's a serious risk to personal injury, loss of life, or a fire spreading to a home. And if the city continues to fail to enforce overnight curfew order and remove tents and encampments and other items, we're putting the city on notice. If there's a loss of life, they're clearly already negligent, and they're going to face a huge, huge settlement. Just as the Super Bowl is about to open up for Sunday, a lot of folks are already gathering out there. By the way, somebody's told me, I didn't see it, but Cincinnati Bengals held a rally, a cheerleader rally for their game coming up, and something like 30-plus thousand showed up. The Rams held a rally. The person telling me said, it looked like at a high school gymnasium. Could have been more than 500 people there. The Rams moved, of course, when Kroenke made the decision, I want to go to a bigger market, so I'm going to go to L.A. A lot more people. Yeah, but a lot more people have a lot more other things to do. Now the team is winning. That should help, obviously. And I told the person, we were joking about 500, I said, well, maybe they'll blame it on COVID restrictions. We could only have so many attend this rally because it's indoors. Then hold the thing outside, you idiots. And you know why you don't? Well, because you're still only going to get 500 or so people showing up at the rally. It doesn't look good. Pierre Salinger was the press aide for John F. Kennedy when he was running. Salinger would be going across New Hampshire and other primary states, and he would book a venue that would only hold maybe 800 people. He knew there'd be more than 800. There were 400 press people covering Kennedy. And Salinger would be told, look, there's a hall just a half a mile down the road that can hold 4,000. You can have that. We can make that available. No. I want the small hall. You know why? Because when the pictures are shown, it looks they are jammed shoulder to shoulder really tight. And in parts of the states up there, they had to be inside because it was cold during the run-up to the primaries, things of that nature. And just secondly, he was going to make it happen anyway. Perception that everybody's following Kennedy. It's got its big story. Now, he could have held the same thing and had this large arena that could hold 4,000 and still only have maybe 800 to 1,000 in there, and it would really look, you know, you know, could be looking bad. But then, of course, good photography can change that, too. You make sure the photographer is shooting low and right up against people and seeing other people around. Don't give me all these open spaces. Because when you show those open spaces, you show, looks like a charade. But you cram 800 in to a space only built for maybe 7, even if you exceed fire capacity, who cares? It looks great. It's kind of like the visuals out of Beijing. You know they've been skiing on man-made snow. They haven't been getting much snow anyway. I know we're going to hear from the climate alarmists. See, that's why. But every time you see the ski slopes, they try to stay real close with the skier and see all the snow, snowboarding the same. But from time to time, they're kind of showing you the venue, and everything off the edge is dark, dark, brown, dry, drought, nothing. So, see, it's all a matter of how you stage the event. The communist Chinese know how to do it. Pierre Salinger certainly knew how to do it. Coming up in the next hour, are the trucker freedom fighters in Canada, are they thugs? Differing opinions on that. And also, Democrats still believe that despite division between blue cities and governors, it are unmasking citizens but not kids, it won't hurt them at the midterm elections. I still predict they'll all be removed before we get to November 1. A lot to cover the next hour. Please stay with us.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.